This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Yesterday marked the beginning of the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act Marketplace, so North Carolinians without health insurance can shop for plans that meet their health care needs and their budget until the end of January. This year, the marketplace is going to look a little different, as Aetna and United Healthcare have both pulled out of the exchange, and that leaves Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina as the only insurer offering plans in all 100 North Carolina counties. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin joins me now to tell us more. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank.
So we're entering the fourth year of the Affordable Care Act, the health insurance exchange, and now two of the three health insurance providers in the state are gone, which is to say not much of a marketplace anymore. I mean, what happened?
No, that's true. The only exception being here sort of in the Raleigh area, Cigna has come in and is going to offer plans in five counties, but those five counties are only right here in the Triangle and actually don't even include Durham. So for all intents and purposes, if you live anywhere outside of about Raleigh or Cary or Johnson County, maybe you'll have only the one insurer to choose from, that being Blue Cross. And yeah, absolutely. This is not the exchange that the Obama administration had envisioned whenever they talked about being able to buy, competitively priced health insurance.
So what are we going to be competing with? There are obviously different plans that you can look at.
Yeah, and in some cases, people even just shopping just with Blue Cross will have upwards of 16 different plan options. So it's not as if there's no choice at all, but still no competition, so to speak, from other companies.
So we finally come to a single payer system. And yet,
well, yeah, not.
Not
I don't think it's quite that.
We envisioned.
That.
All right. So now, how does that compare, that situation? I mean, Blue Cross and Blue Shield has almost monopoly control over the insurance market here when it comes to health care. How common is that? How do we compare to other states?
Well, the monopoly they have is on the ACA plans, not necessarily on all, all employer-based and et cetera. But other states do tend to have more competition in the Affordable Care Act than we do here in North Carolina. The estimates are about 60% of all shoppers on the ACA can choose from three plans or more. And obviously here in North Carolina, that number is a good bit lower, though it should be noted that choice is decreasing across the nation. That 60% number I just cited is actually down from 85% just a couple years ago across the nation. So this is sort of a trend that is happening, though more quickly here in North Carolina.
And why did Aetna and United Healthcare pull out?
They're just not making any money. And in fact, they're losing money. These people that are signing up for Affordable Care Act exchange plans have tended to be sicker than at first projected, and therefore are, costing more money. And let's be honest with what that means. I mean, they're buying health insurance and using health insurance, and they're going to get health care, and it just has ended up being more costly than the actuaries that these insurance companies had projected.
And Blue Cross and Blue Shield has noted their rates have gone up as well.
Indeed, pretty significantly in terms of a percent. They went up 30% last year coming into 2016. They're up another 24% going into 2017. So pretty steep increases on a percent basis.
All right. So how much money then does Blue Cross and Blue Shield say it's losing as a result of the exchange?
$280 million is what they said last year. So that's a pretty significant chunk of change there that essentially made it to where they finished the entire year basically flat. I think they made something like $500,000, which, for a $7 billion company is not that much. It's essentially flat. That's hopefully going to change this year. There are a lot of experts who are basically saying that basically the rates have now caught up to where they should have been. I know that's one thing that has been put out there, and so maybe we're getting there right now.
Well, you spoke with Jonathan Oberlander, who's a professor of health policy and management at UNC Chapel Hill. And in fact, he says that the exactly what you said, the rates are not as high as we might have expected.
The premiums through 2016 were actually significantly lower than we expected them to be. So with these increases that we've had across the country this year, it's going to put the premiums about where we expected them to be back in 2010.
So that's an apologist's somebody who would defend the ACA is saying is that whenever we first came out with premiums, on a dollar level, they maybe weren't as high as they probably should have been. Again, the actuaries underestimated how much it would cost for healthcare. So then that's where you're seeing these percentage increases. And it does serve, you know, it's a good mental exercise. Let's say, for example, whenever the ACA first came out, if the rates were set, say, I don't know, $200 higher than they are now, and then instead of seeing premium rate increases, we were actually seeing premium rate decreases, even though the dollar amounts would have come out to the same place. Would the story then be that the ACA is this huge success and look how it's driving down healthcare premiums and you know, we're seeing these big percent decreases? So, you know, I don't know if that would be the story, but it is certainly worth pointing out and thinking about that we have to talk about this on a total dollar basis.
And it all comes down to the guess you make about people who had gone uninsured for so long with chronic illnesses that now cost so much to treat because they've gone untreated. The guess about what that's going to mean when that load suddenly put on the system,
right,
that's a hard guess to make.
Well, it is a hard guess to make. And exactly as you mentioned, I mean, the actuaries have for years at insurance companies gotten pretty good at estimating how much it's going to cost people that are on employer-based health insurance. But this was a whole new population, as you're saying, and that's where the guesswork got a little bit more difficult. I should also add, by the way, you know, in talking about total dollars, there's still a majority of North Carolinians who are going to be able to buy health insurance at a cost of a premium of less than $100 per month. So when you talk about affordable care, the cost to that person, less than $100 in premiums, you know, that depending on how much you make, could fall into the realm of affordable. Of course, it should be mentioned, some 90% of the people in North Carolina who are on an Affordable Care Act plan do qualify for a government subsidy, and those subsidies can get rather large. The average in North Carolina is something like $400 per month. So you are looking at a hefty tax subsidy that then falls on, you know, the rest of us to cover. So there is that subsidy. It, you know, we're still talking $500 total on, you know, right, again, these are all averages per month, but when it's to the individual, it's only about $100.
And so how many people are we talking about in North Carolina?
600,000 is the rough number that everybody's going with. That's how many signed up this past year. You know, enrollment had ramped up from the first to second and second to third years. Going into the fourth year, I think you'll potentially see another increase, but I don't think it'll be as sharp as we've seen the past 2 years.
So the Affordable Care Act has made insurance available for people. More people are now insured than before the Affordable Care Act. Some are paying fairly low rates, albeit subsidized, and you talked about that. Big subsidies making it possible for people to get health care coverage now that was not possible before. What is the failure to expand Medicaid in this state meant to those subsidies and kind of what we're paying? Or the overall picture,
right,
of ACA?
No, and it's studies have shown that failure to expand Medicaid does drive up the premiums on the Affordable Care Act plans. And here's the thinking behind that. The Medicaid population is, of course, on the lower end of the income spectrum when you're talking about the people that qualify for ACA. If they had been on Medicaid, then they would be getting – if they're on Medicaid, they're not getting the subsidies, and so that sort of helps keep the price consistent for those who are on ACA plans. So expanding Medicaid increases coverage for the very low end on the income scale, and that sort of flattens everything out for those on the higher end of the ACA income scale. You know, that we didn't do that, and I think there's been a lot talked about, both good and bad, but that is, I think their studies have definitely shown that is excellent.
No, but it's interesting because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say the ACA is not good, and then you fail to expand Medicaid because of that, and then you say rates increased, well, then you've almost...
That's true, but I mean, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that this is something that the states were allowed to decide, and in North Carolina, we have state leadership that has decided that we don't want to expand government in that way, and you know, the voters will have a chance this time to potentially go in a different direction. But the way that the voters of North Carolina decided at the time, they elected a group of people that didn't want to expand government in that way. And so, you know, one might argue that's the way North Carolina wanted to go.
ACA has had more than just marketplace plans. There are other aspects that we don't consider in terms of ACA's impact on overall health care. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that I really try to mention as often as possible is that, honestly, I think the biggest impact that the ACA might ultimately have just sort of on the American healthcare system is just that we realize how much we're actually paying for this stuff. I mean, we're running up a healthcare bill of $3 trillion. And, you know, even as I say that, that really doesn't mean anything to me because the number is so enormous. And, you know, it's also important to remember that, you know, across the nation, there's 12 million people who are getting ACA coverage. Well, there's 150 million that buy through an employer. So the vast majority of people buying health insurance are doing so through their employer. And what we're starting to see is some of these, for example, consumer-directed plans, high-deductible plans, where the employee is still buying health insurance and still having, you know, coverage for if there's a big accident. But in terms of primary care, even a lot of specialty care, they're getting a lot, they're having a lot more say in the actual purchase of it, like at the point of buying it, because we had disassociated healthcare buying from healthcare paying. So, you know, we pay our monthly premiums and our employer kicks in some, and it even comes out of our pay stub before we even really see that cash. So we really disassociated how much we were paying for what we're actually getting. And that was an enormous contributor to the escalating costs.
Yeah, three times what they're paying, what we're paying in the developed world for healthcare per capita and not getting the outcomes. So now you say we're getting a better view of what it really costs to deliver healthcare, and those consumer-directed plans make us more focused on wellness and how often we access the system.
Yeah, and you're, we're starting to see, look, this is going to be a slow ship to turn. It's an enormous process, but we are already starting to see, like, for example, in accountable care organizations where hospitals are doing more to partner with primary care. You're seeing hospital systems do a better job of following up with patients as they leave so that they don't come back more often. I might encourage the listeners to, there's an op-ed actually that ran today in the New York Times, written partly by a Duke professor. It's called How Healthcare Hurts Your Paycheck. I'll tweet that out later if anybody wants to read it. It's got a really good idea for how we might do a better job of linking the payment of healthcare for the use of healthcare so that we can do a better job of shopping for healthcare the way we shop for cars, for example.
Jason, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Jason DeBruin, WNC data reporter, and more about his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a conversation about funerals, death and dying, these topics. Should they be taboo? Should we talk more openly? And is there a way to talk about this that is not quite so frightening? We'll do it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.